Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, this is Nick Chubb. Thanks for listening to the Dogs of War podcast.
But I still believe through the cold and through the heat, through the rain and through the tears, through the crowds and through the cheers.
So we took a much earlier leave of absence after the season finale last week.
Only a week. We skipped a week.
We needed a week off.
Yeah. You all needed a week off. Like, let's be honest. If we did a season finale last week, would you have, like, I couldn't look at the Browns. I couldn't look at sentences that started with BR. They shit the bed against the Steelers, but
hold that thought. Welcome back to the Dogs of War podcast, number one Browns podcast on the planet. You got Kevin
Ed Raleigh,
and we had no interest in talking about the Browns after losing to the Steelers, and we know none of you wanted to hear, listen, or talk about the Browns either.
Yeah, and time heals all wounds, and it took us about a week to sooner or later in this offseason, well, hopefully we're going to start telling ourselves that we're Super Bowl contenders or something stupid again. And by no means are we close to there, but also good things happen since the Browns lost to the Steelers.
For instance, after getting picked apart by Kenny Pickett, I wanted nothing to do with talking about the Browns for at least a week or two.
Yeah. Also really hope that
a fitting end to just a god awful season and year. And hey, talking about good things, one of my New Year's resolutions this year, my Browns resolution, is to taper expectations. I don't care how people look in training camp. I don't care how people look on Instagram in the summer. I'm not saying nothing till like week four or five. All right? I'm done with this. Oh, I look at this. Cade York hit 70 yards in training camp. Oh, Deshaun's going to be just fine. The defense, we'll get there in a minute. They look phenomenal. No. I am not listening or saying any of that until like week four or five. Get me like October, and then we'll start talking. Judging, grading is what I'm talking about here.
Yeah, no, that's I feel like, for the record, we do not re-listen to our own episodes. I don't. You don't. Well,
I
give other than editing.
I listen to what I edit, but then I also give the 60 seconds on iTunes and Spotify to get those stats.
Oh,
so thanks for literally nothing.
So do I.
You don't even read the descriptions. You'll listen. I mean, you're.
Every time I think.
I want to title one of these episodes one of these days something like aimed at you.
Raleigh's a piece of shit.
No foul language. It'll just be something outrageous at you, and you'll never notice. Maybe someone will text you or it'll be tagged on Instagram, but I can literally write a poem.
We could use the AI thing.
I haven't even understood that ChatGPT or whatever it is. I have no idea. But anyway, go back to what you're saying.
I feel like we had reasonable expectations, I think, this year, but they were like misplaced. Reasonable, obviously misplaced. Like, our defense is going to be good to above average. Don't worry about it. Our offense is going to suck ass because of Jacoby. Like, we didn't rip on him, but we're like, hey, we got a backup quarterback. And it's like, well, Jacoby could not have looked better. Or like, he couldn't have asked more for out of him. The offense was humming. The defense was atrocious. And Deshaun came back, didn't really have that fire that you probably could have talked ourselves into. Like, oh yeah, it'll be a game or two, It's like, well, it didn't really come, which is still fine. It's by no means is it panic button, but there was not a game that he just blatantly put the team on his back.
Not yet. It'll happen.
Yeah, that defense was inconsistent at best. I mean, they had amongst the worst numbers in the league. The team seemed to quit a decent amount. That sucked. So that all being said, I don't think we had the worst expectations or like the most absurd expectations compared to other years. And it was kind of a frustrating bummer of like, I've heard people say it was worse than 0-16. And I'm like,
I hated this season way more. Nothing ever will ever get worse than 1-31, but I hated this year more than any season I think we ever had.
Well, the beauty,
including that off season, because we got Browns fans got the shit kicked out of them this past off season.
Yeah,
many ways.
Yes, absolutely. The 1-31, yeah, it sucked, but there was almost a piece to come with it. One, you knew they had draft capital, and two, it's not like we were hanging in there, not being mathematically out of the play. Like we're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, like week four in back to back years.
You know? I don't think to go off to your last point, I don't think expectations were crazy. You're right. I think what we didn't do is because we're the fan base of perpetual hope, the blind leading the blind, a parade of the inept, whatever you want to call us, is after the 11 game suspension came down. And maybe after like week four or five, both those times we didn't want to admit what we all knew was going to happen. What the season was kind of just, I don't want to say a throwaway, but it was over. So here we are, the off season.
Well, we say that, but it's like, it's the circumstances for it being over. We're not like, there's no excuse for it. I mean, we will never have that easy of a first, what was it, 5-game schedule in our lifetimes. Well, that's probably an absurd statement, but it's like they had the Jets by the ropes. God.
Oh, God. That game was the beginning of the end.
That game.
In hindsight,
but they beat the Steelers week three. We go up 3-2-1. Then what was it like? Falcons loss, like, shouldn't have. There were a lot of games that they should have won that they didn't, and here we are. And it's like you can't say, oh, it's because they didn't have Deshaun. It's like, well, the quarterback you had was doing his job.
Top 10 defense and efficiency with Deshaun.
You mean
with Jacoby.
Yeah. And then it's like when Deshaun came back and looked like ass against Houston, which, you know, no judgment
there. We're not ever holding that game. I mean, we won.
But that was like the greatest defensive performance in Browns history against one of the worst teams.
And to be fair, after week seven, our defense was pretty up there in some of the rankings. So it wasn't all, but yes. And that first game, I mean, Deshaun just had to get through that game that week going to Houston. Like that was, I'm never going to even look at that game ever again.
So that all being said, yeah. We were pissed when they seemed to not show up against the Steelers. Hopefully Kenny Pickett is not good. His stats weren't impressive, but he finished the year with like stringing plural game-winning drives together.
Dude, he did 3 or 4 game-winning drives as a rookie.
It's like, please.
He better not be good. He better not be another typical Pittsburgh, you know, Pro Bowl, Hall of Famer. I can't deal with that.
So, yeah, hopefully that doesn't happen. And hopefully the Browns stop doing this to us every single year of namely in just making us miserable.
It's just incredible, man. We came back in 99. We've been to the playoffs twice. Are you kidding me? Look at some of these other teams that came into the league. Look at like Carolina, Jacksonville, when they came in as expansion teams, the success they now granted. I'm not saying they're light years ahead of the Browns, get real, but how quick they had success. It is. We've said this a million times. It is statistically harder to be as bad as we've been than it's just to be an average team. I mean, I know all the different things, the suspension, quarterbacks, you know, revolving door, coaches, GMs, whatever. just from a macro level, look at it from a 100,000 foot look down at this franchise. Just another season that's just lost. And it's just how, remember when Sasha came in and they hired Dee Podesta 7-8 years ago? And we all knew, all right, they are tearing this down to the studs. 2 or 3 years of just slop, and then hopefully we start seeing something. Now, granted, we got some of our cornerstone players out of this, okay? But for the love of God, we're going into like the 7th or 8th year of this since we hired Depot and started doing all this stuff and analytics and blah, blah, blah. And again, I know if you break it down, if you go in from a micro level, we can understand what happened season by season, blah, blah, blah. But again, 100,000 foot look down, another lost season. We've been to the playoffs twice in what, a quarter of a century now?
23. Is it? I always say 23 years. Is it 24 years?
19, something like that. So the better half, a quarter of a century. And we're just running out of time, patience. We're never going to go anywhere, obviously. But man, this is getting rough.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Speaking of the complete opposite, though, it's nice to watch these. I mean, I hate watching the playoffs because we're never in them, but it's also my favorite, you know, weekends of the year in terms of sports.
Oh yeah, you don't hate it. It's like being able
I'm
to
jealous.
Watch.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, jealous, but it's like I'm so beaten down by the Browns. I'm like I don't even care at this point or most points.
And but you're just you're just watching a different sport sometimes.
It's sweet to watch football having zero emotion attached to it. Like, and you know, when we were watching, we had the Jacksonville game on, which I'm,
oh my God, talk about.
Like I was watching it and then I was like, you know, it'd be cool if Jacksonville could turn this around. But in the meantime, I'm going to put the kid down at half or something. Came back and they're making a run and it's like, ooh, let's see something cool happen. And I was looking on Twitter and all of these Charger accounts were saying, oh my God, the Chargers are about to charger. And then I was laughing because I was like, we also use our team's name as an adjective or a verb for something horrible happening. And it happened. And it was pretty incredible to watch and sucks for LA, but pretty excited for Jacksonville.
Look, obviously, I've said it a million times. I'm out here trying to win me a bowl, right? No matter, we could win the next 10 Super Bowls in a row. One thing that will never, ever happen to this franchise, bet the house, bet the family, we will never come back from a deficit like that. The Cleveland Browns would never have that happen. I was sitting there. I remember it was like halftime. Or no, it was like second quarter. After Trevor Lawrence threw 4 picks in the first half, we're like, man, this first round of playoffs stinks. It's been just joke of a game. And then I remember we went are doing something else, and like an hour later, someone goes, they're about to win this game. And I was like, stop it. And I could not believe they came back and did that. You see, Trevor Lawrence went to Waffle House late night.
That's
attaboy. Attaboy. They showed him walking in, everyone's like cheering. I was like, that's just a go be 23 or 24 years old. That's so awesome. But yeah, shout out my fellow Dayton alum, Staley, on the Chargers side. Real tough look. Tough game. Wow. But we will shout out to Jacksonville. My God. Shout out Doug Peterson, Trevor Lawrence. But I'm just saying, no matter what, the Browns could become we will never come back from a deficit like that. That's the first thing I said when I saw the score. I was like, man, we'll never know what this feels like.
Dude, you know who I feel bad for? Well, I think I feel bad for, I mean, it was his fault, granted, but Joey Bosa, there was a play where he felt he got held absurd, or there was a no call on a false start, and then he was held on that same play, and the refs didn't call it. Granted, there was also a no call that was a pass interference, in the end zone that would have helped Jacksonville. So I think this might have been a makeup call. Anyway, he throws his helmet down, spikes it down, gets a flag thrown on him, and the Jaguars got the option of half the distance to the goal. They went for a two-point conversion and got it.
Big play. Yeah, I mean, him and the refs just weren't going at it. And then he came out and made a big statement about it the next day.
What'd he say?
I applaud his kind of locker room exit interview the next day. I'm going to paraphrase. He was like, it's BS that I'm going to come out here and complain about this and I'm going to get fined $40,000, but these guys can blow a call and it ruins a team's season and playoffs. He's like, it's complete BS. There needs to be more accountability on the side of the referees. And I'm sure you got to assume that the coach, GM, everyone was like, dude, please don't. Like, we know what happened. We know that you and the refs had an awful time in that game yesterday with each other. Please don't say anything. I'm guessing they did that. But then he was like, no, I mean, someone like a Joey Bosa, right? A big, well-known player. If he starts this domino effect, maybe other people start talking out too and being like, hey, we got to start holding these folks more accountable to blow these calls or to miss a call, whatever it may be. Now, granted, I'm not saying every single game and every single ref is bad, right? Some of this stuff gets blown away and people blame the refs for losses every week is stupid. But there's some times where they need to be called out. And that was one of them. And I'm happy that he said something.
Well, that's kind of the point I was making. The only reason it was a bad call on its own, but I truly do think it was a makeup call for a blatant no call on a pass interference in the end zone. That's why I wasn't like yelling at the TV on his behalf, because right before that, like the announcers were like, he can't do that, referring to whatever DB that almost tackled the guy. And so it swung both ways in that case. And I'm like, either way, even if there is a shit call and you got to say something about it, couldn't agree more. But that cost his, I thought it was dumb that they still went for the 2-point conversion until I saw what's his name, Trevor Lawrence's goal line, 1 yard play where he jumped over the line and just extended his hand. Did you see that?
Yeah. I mean, again, props to him and Doug Peterson. I mean, yeah. You can't say enough about just the resilience of coming back out after halftime and being like, let's go, let's fight. So love that. But we got to get, let's go back to the Browns.
Yeah.
Big news this week, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Woods
can't hurt us anymore.
Was fired. And hey, wish him the best. Joe Woods, a good dude. You know, like I said before in this podcast, not to say he won't go off and be a great coach somewhere else, right? It's just about situations and the right people for those situations. So unless you've been living under a rock, the Browns hired Jim Schwartz this week as our new defensive coordinator. Ironically, he started with the Browns as his first NFL job under Bill Belichick as a scouting assistant. We'll get to that. But Raleigh, your initial thoughts on Jim Schwartz?
Well, my initial thoughts were basically derived from reading a couple of articles that paint him in the good light. One of them was that he essentially, in this article, was given full credit for turning a very bad Philadelphia Eagles defense around into a Super Bowl winning team / defense. They said he is a smart player, but he also coaches in a way to make his players smart and bring the best out in him. Kevin Stefanski was paraphrasing, I think that Jim Schwartz is somebody that brings the absolute best out of his players. And I'm like, that's awesome. Glad Stefanski acknowledges that. Another conversation is like, Stefanski, why the hell didn't you do that with your team? But that was just kind of like a, in my head, shot at Stefanski. So I'm excited, but also don't want to get too excited. If he could turn them around and make people want to run through walls, be disciplined and improve. Nobody has effing improved on the defensive side of the ball in the 3 years of this regime. Like, nobody's gotten better except maybe Taki Taki.
That's fair.
And that can't happen. And I feel like the organization's been looking at this like, oh, we got to get the right players. We got to get the right players. And they make moves to get players, but make your players the right players. Coach them into being the right players. Like, they're spending way too much money for them to be this bad at football. And hopefully a good coach with a young team can help that.
I did not want the young candidates that were being floated. Now, listen, Mayo and Desai, they have crazy respect around the league. They've been very successful as players, as coaches. I would not be surprised if they go on to be phenomenal defensive coordinators or head coaches someday. I just for our organization, for the Cleveland Browns, we needed some experience. I can't do any more of these. You know, let's take a flyer on a young and up and coming guy. We don't need that right now. We're ready to go now. Okay. Not saying they wouldn't have done a good job. Who knows? But we needed a guy that's been proven. What is the one thing money can't buy? All these dudes have all the money in the world. Money can't buy rings, championships. Jim Schwartz comes in, being in the league for 30 years now, whatever it is. He has a Super Bowl. He's been to a couple. He has a ring recently. These guys will look to that and realize, oh, this dude can get us there because he's done it before and knows what he's doing. That's how you get a locker room full of professional athletes, with or without big heads, to listen to you and to buy in. And for those of you that have not listened to his press conference yet today, look at it on the Browns YouTube. Phenomenal press conference. I loved it. He reminisced on his, you know, first couple years here, shared some stories. He's got God knows how many other stories he can't tell in public. Anyway, this is his fourth team as defensive coordinator. In terms of scheme, he runs a 4-3, which is the same as Woods did, but Schwartz prefers man, where Woods preferred a lot more zone. I'm excited for this because look at all these Southern SEC boys that were drafting. You think about, you know, Delpit, you think about Emerson, and then they're not SEC, but they're still speedsters with Ward and Newsom. Like, these dudes, I want to see more man because that's what they can do. They can run and take these guys down. Schwartz is known for running the wide nine scheme. This puts defensive ends farther outside of the offensive tackles. So this makes for a more aggressive pass rush. Hello, Myles Garrett, which, again, if you listen to his press conference, you'll understand the importance of pass rush to him. With the wide nine, you're putting a better athlete, think Myles Garrett, against a slower guy and an offensive tackle. You know, when you're in wide nine, that tackle has to move outside of the small area they're used to working in. So really, you're isolating offensive tackles in space. His scheme is more about getting pressure with a big, talented front. Let me say that one more time. His scheme is about getting pressure with a big, talented front, which we have not had the last few years. So please, God, I think it's a given now we're going to really update or upgrade our defensive tackles. In Philly, his defenses were some of the best third down defenses. In Tennessee, where he just came from as a defensive assistant, his coverage schemes were modernized, right? People always see, oh, he's been in the league for 30 years. Like, is he going to, you know, adapt to the new NFL, how it changes? Yes. Tennessee, his schemes are modernized for pass coverage behind his front four, which he's known for, right? So he's adapted to this NFL that is today while still keeping his core beliefs in the wide nine, in that 4-3, in that big four front. He's got the Super Bowl, right? He started under Bill Belichick. He said in his press conference today, you know, I got my PhD in footballology in Cleveland under Bill Belichick and Nick Saban. He's like, you couldn't ask for a better guys to learn under, and he's right. He finished his press conference today. There's only spoiler I'm going to give is he goes, look, winning that Super Bowl a few years ago, I'm never going to remember all the plays we ran in that game because I will never, ever for the rest of my life forget that parade in Philly after we won that Super Bowl. He goes, there's only one city in the world that I know can outdo Philly in terms of Super Bowl parade. He goes, it's right here. Let's go. And that's how he ended his press conference. And I was so pumped. So that's the quick 50,000 foot look down at Jim Schwartz. I'm excited of his experience. I'm excited for what the scheme he's going to bring. There's been a lot of players. There's a lot of articles out there and quotes and interviews. A lot of guys love playing for him. They say that wide nine and the way that he runs his schemes and whatnot is a defensive player's dream, especially up front. And look at the guys he's coached in the past. Fletcher Cox, Dominican Sue. He's dealt with big-time players, big-time, you know, name guys. So I just said the same thing twice, whatever. It's not his first rodeo. It's really the end of the story. He's not his first rodeo. He's done this before. We needed experience back there. Let's go.
That was absolutely beautiful. And you actually gave me chills Thank you for your recon, Kevin.
Watch the press conference. If you haven't, everyone, it is so cool. Like I've said that many times. I'm one of those losers that watches a lot of these press conferences, but even the most casual Browns fan can watch this. I'm not going to give any more away. The first thing he says when he sits down is just game each. Like, you have to watch this press conference. I'm not overselling it. I'm underselling it.
Well, you made me want to run through brick walls, and that's third party information. So hopefully that shit resonates with the guys he's going to be coaching. I'm excited again, Kevin. I'm starting to get excited.
Well, if we're both excited right now, I say we end on a good note. Let me think real quick. Who you got? A couple picks this weekend. Bills, Bengals.
They're playing in Buffalo. I got to think Bills.
I hope. Can only hope so.
I enjoyed watching the Ravens lose. For some reason, I wanted them to beat the.
That just struck a note with me. I was out at a fireplace in for that game, and I was sitting amongst in between many Bengals fans and many Ravens fans, because obviously in Chicago here, there's a mix of everyone. I say terrible things about Bengals fans. I get it. I don't ever do it unprovoked. I always wait till they say something stupid about Cleveland, and they always do. Again, I had to take a bit of a step back, and I've been very behaved this past season. But I will say every single Bengals jersey, and credit, a lot of Bengals jerseys, they're all Burrow or Chase. They all bought their jerseys in the last year. That's all I'm going to say about the Bengals fans.
Yeah.
I got the Bills beating the Bengals. I don't have the Bills winning the Super Bowl, but I think they're still riding so high off of the Hamlin stuff and their game last weekend. You know what I got a weird feeling about, which I've said dumber things than this. Jaguars Chiefs. I got a weird feeling about the Jags pulling off something here.
I mean, if I'm about to sneeze, hold on.
All right, do that. I'm gonna go. All right. So my picks: Chiefs, Jaguars. I'm taking Chiefs, but there might be a little sprinkle on the Jaguars too. Giants, Eagles, Eagles. I mean, come on, like a Giants, great year. Dabble, unreal coach up there for coach of the year, but Eagles are not gonna lose to the Giants. Bills over Bengals, and then 49ers over the Cowboys, because a lot of good friends that are Cowboys fans. We've had Cowboys fans on this podcast, Cowboys podcast on this podcast. It's nothing against them. I just love the coverage that the Cowboys get after they lose these big games, specifically Stephen A. Smith versus Michael Irvin on SportsCenter. But anyway, continue. Sorry.
Who would you say? So back to the, that Jaguars game.
Yeah.
It just goes to show, like, they got their
spreads 8.5. The spread's 8.5. So
it was 14 for the Dolphins, and they almost came back. But they were getting their asses kicked against the Chargers, and then the defense locked down, and Lawrence came alive. Like, it was a thing of beauty to watch, as far as like a not just like a comeback. Like, you literally did what going from everything being done wrong to doing everything right. And they can do that. Like, what happens if now Lawrence got the shitty, like, he threw 4 picks and 4 touchdowns, I think were the numbers. Like, well, what if he has a game where he doesn't throw 4 picks and he just throws 4 TDs? Like, it'd be sweet. Who would be your point is, don't quit. The Browns this season, they quit a lot. I've witnessed a great Browns road, shout out 2015 or 2014 Hoyer year. Sorry, I got derailed. Who would your favorite 3 Super Bowl winners be? Like, not teams that you think are going to win it, but teams that you would like to see win it that are also realistic.
First, I am on the other side of that. I don't think the Browns gave up this year. That's why I was more impressed about. I know what you're saying. It just looked a little, sometimes on the defensive side, they just kind of look like this is not working, but I didn't think they gave up, because again, the offense and the defense of the last, you know, second half of the year were up there, but I get what you're saying.
In a game they gave up, I think.
I think we're going to win in terms of like what I'd bet on in order, I'd go Chiefs, Bills, Eagles. Teams I would rather see win. God, I don't really. I mean, the Jaguars would be such a good story. I don't despise them. The Bills, I mean, the Bills are, you know, very much like Cleveland, so I wouldn't hate to see them win. And I guess the 49ers.
I think the 49ers have a good chance of winning it, and also I would like to see win it.
But I also hate them because they drafted their quarterback, who's an absolute stud, Brock Purdy, third stringer, the last pick in the draft, is a stud. And that's not fair. I'm just being jealous and petty. That's BS with the 50 quarterbacks we've had here since 99. Continue.
Yeah, Mr. Irrelevant. But they also drafted, Trey Lance, and they're not getting anything out of him. And now they're turning to Purdy, and it's like, that's kind of cool. I also love that I think that they are one of the few teams that are like, have a defensive identity.
Oh, yeah. The defense is real.
And I always got to like root for the team that goes by their defensive prowess.
49ers are the most fun team to watch that's left, in my opinion.
I think Bills would, I'd root for the Bills, Jacksonville.
Anyone but Cincinnati. That's all I have to say. Anyone but the Bengals. That's all. I don't care. At the end of the day, anyone but the Bengals. Anyway,
Chiefs Eagles Super Bowl with the two Kelsey brothers. Shout out Cleveland.
That'd be great. Cleveland would enjoy that. I agree.
That would be sweet. Yeah.
Let's wrap it up. We don't want to talk about too many other teams because I'm just going to get depressed.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Dogs of War podcast. For Raleigh, for myself, good night, Cleveland.
It was 1950 in the cold and rain when my father took me to my very first game. Said the Browns are going to show you how the game is played. Here we go again.
Go again.
Oh, here we go again.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.